Let's read together John chapter 9, verses 35 through 41. Now, in this last section of John chapter 9, we have the growing faith of the healed blind man shown in contrast to the further spiritual blindness of the Pharisees. John chapter 9, verse 35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said to him, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?" And Jesus said to him, "You have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you." Then he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. And Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be made blind." Then some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words and said to him, "Are we blind also?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, 'We see.' Therefore, your sin remains." All right, once again, some background notes, first of all. The healing of the blind man in John chapter 9 is the sixth sign miracle in the Gospel of John. In John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, we read, "And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." The healing of the blind man is one of seven selected sign miracles in the Gospel of John to specifically point up the deity of Christ. The healing of the blind man took place in Jerusalem. The Lord took some dirt and mixed it with his spit and placed this mud on the blind man's eyes. The Lord then told him to go wash it off in the pool of Siloam. The man obeyed. He did what the Lord asked him to do, and he received his sight. Quite a miracle. It definitely confirmed the deity of Christ. But the Pharisees did not become believers. The Pharisees, you remember, were a religious sect within Judaism at the time of Christ. Most of the Pharisees were self-righteous hypocrites, and they would not accept the fact that Jesus was the Messiah. In reference to the healing of the blind man here in John chapter 9, the Pharisees did everything they could to discredit the Lord and belittle the blind man who was healed. In fact, they reviled the man who was healed. They were convinced that this man was born blind because he was a sinner. They totally forgot the teaching of the book of Job, that physical suffering can be for reasons other than sin. Look back at verse 3 here in our chapter. Verse 3 tells us that this man was born blind so that the works of God should be revealed in him. In his conversation with the Pharisees, the healed blind man showed the Pharisees how bigoted they really were. And they hated him even more. They kicked him out of the synagogue. Now, it's at this point that the Lord met him once again, and that really does lead us to our doctrinal or teaching points from this last section of John chapter 9. Doctrinal point number one, God continues his work in every believer's life. God continues his work in every believer's life. In Philippians 1:6, we read, "He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." God continues his work in every believer's life. The Bible certainly teaches that. Now, I think we see that biblical truth illustrated here in our Lord's continuing to work with this blind man that's healed in John chapter 9. The healing of the man born blind pictures salvation. We were born spiritually blind. But the Lord has saved us, and now we have spiritual sight. The clay placed on the man's eyes may represent our humble beginnings, as well as the humble place we must take in receiving salvation. The waters of the pool of Siloam, which means sent, may represent the work of the Holy Spirit in our salvation. Often in Scripture, water pictures the work of the Holy Spirit. And certainly the Holy Spirit was sent to bring us to salvation. Now notice, the Lord does not just heal the blind man. He continues to work with him so that his faith will grow. Well, in the same way, the Lord does not just save us and leave us to go on our own. He continues to work with us. God continues his work in every believer's life. Again, Philippians 1:6. He who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. This, by the way, is known as the Lord's work of sanctification in our lives. God continues his work in every believer's life. Doctrinal point number 2. The end result of correct theology should be worship. The end result of correct theology should be worship. Go back to verse 17. The Pharisees asked the blind man, "What do you say about him? Because he opened your eyes." He said, "He is a prophet." Well, the Lord was a prophet, but he was more than a prophet. He was God. But the man does not fully realize this yet. He has a genuine faith, but not a mature faith. He needs to grow in the area of theology, the study of God. He needs to come to the realization that Jesus is fully God. And that's exactly what takes place here in this last section of John chapter 9. The Lord found him and said, verse 35, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?" And Jesus said to him, "You have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you." Then he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. The man came to realize that Jesus was fully God, because only God is worshiped. The end result of correct theology should be worship. Now, is that the way it is in our lives? That's the way it should be. Coming to know more about the Lord should not be just the accumulation of knowledge about God. It should result in worship. The end result of correct theology should be worship. You know, I love to read the old commentaries, the commentaries written by earlier Christians, some going back, way back, you know, to your early centuries, and certainly on down time of the Reformation, Calvin, Luther. You know, why I like to read these is because periodically these Christians burst into praise in their writing. You know, they'll be writing along and they'll be explaining a verse of Scripture, but then they'll launch off into a tangent of praise. That's fantastic. That's really the way it should be. The end result of correct theology should be worship. Doctrinal point number 3. Everyone was blind or will be blind. Everyone was blind or will be blind. In verse 39, the Lord said, "For judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be made blind." Now, that first part of the Lord's statement sounds like a contradiction to what he says in John 12, verse 47. There he says, "I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world." Sounds like a contradiction, but it's not a contradiction, because there in John 12, 47, God's purpose is in view. Here, the result is in view. The Lord's purpose in coming to this earth was not to judge, but to save. But unfortunately, those who don't believe will be judged. The result will be judgment. And here's what the judgment will be. Verse 39, once again. "That those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be made blind." If you acknowledge that you are spiritually blind and come to Christ, you will see. But if you refuse to acknowledge that you are blind and you claim that you can see without accepting Christ, forget it. You will be made blind. That is, more blind than you were when you started. And the Pharisees were in this latter category. They asked the Lord in verse 40, "Are we blind also?" Look what the Lord said in verse 41. Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, 'We see,' therefore your sin remains." In other words, the Lord is saying, Pharisees, you know, if you would acknowledge that you are blind and come to faith, receive me as the Messiah, you will receive sight. Your spiritual eyes will be open. But the fact that you say you don't need to come, the fact that you say you see now, therefore you are blind and you will stay that way. Do you see the doctrinal point? Everyone, that includes us, everyone was blind or will be blind. There is no other category. Which category are you in? Everyone was blind or will be blind. So one practical application now from this last section of John chapter 9. The Lord will find you when you're hurting. The Lord will find you when you're hurting. In verse 35, we see that the man was put out of the synagogue, and the Lord found him. John chapter 9, verse 35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said to him, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" You know, he must have really been hurting at this point to be expelled from the synagogue and thus ostracized from the community. That was not a pleasant experience. He was hurting. But the Lord found him. Notice, he did not have to go looking for the Lord. The Lord found him. In the same way, the Lord will find you when you're hurting. He knows all about your hurts. He knows when you're hurting, where you're hurting, and why you're hurting. Anybody here today hurting in some way? Emotionally, physically, spiritually? Most of us are in some way hurting. Well, here's what we can be sure of. We can be sure that when we're hurting, we can turn to the Lord for help. He'll be there. But more than that, he will find us. The Lord will find you when you're hurting. You know, just a few weeks ago, I was speaking to a young Christian couple who had lost their first child through a miscarriage. Just happened earlier this summer. They were hurting quite a bit. In fact, I would have to say probably somewhat bitter. And maybe not turning to the Lord the way they should have. But the Lord found them and brought healing into their lives. I'm sure you could share some experience along that line too. The Lord will find you when you're hurting. Certainly a truth that's taught right here in practical application, John chapter 9. The Lord will find you when you're hurting.